And hello, everyone. Welcome to Eagles Live on this Tuesday in South Philadelphia at the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by ESPN contributor Adam Kaplan. News of the day, of course, the quarterback position, Adam. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles on the practice field today. We just heard from Pat Shurmur, Eagles offensive coordinator. We will talk about the quarterback situation as we take a look at number 9 walking back onto the practice field for the first time since prior to the Dallas game. Foles missing all of last week with his recovery from the concussion suffered against the Dallas Cowboys. Does he play on Sunday? It's too early to tell. We're going to talk a lot with Adam about this Eagles offense that for 2 weeks here, buddy, not productive at all.
Not at all. And assuming that Nick Foles is going to get a healthy work with the first team offense, he's ready to go. They've got to get him back really on schedule. It was off schedule against Dallas. I think everyone knows that. And here's a guy who has started on the road. He's played in games where they've needed him to play well, and he's done it. And this challenge this week, Dave, against the Raiders defense, we're going to talk about it today. Really fun to watch on tape, and it's been a really good story.
The Eagles' offensive woes are not limited to just the quarterback play. The running game, which was absolutely dynamic through 6 games, shut down in games 7 and 8. Adam, we'll talk about that as well. Mm-hmm. It's not just number 25 and number 34. Offensive line needs to block and create some holes. They are not there.
Yeah, and in fact, if you see watching this tape here, you see how the penetration by the D-line has just been there. That's the noticeable difference other than McCoy occasionally not hitting the holes that are there. That's something I think Chip's talked about it. Everyone's kind of got a piece in this. And now especially McCoy, whose yards per carry way down in recent weeks.
Yeah, he's run the same number of carries in September and October. 200 fewer yards in the month of October. So the Eagles really need to get McCoy going with this team on the road in Oakland. The first of 2 road games as the Eagles get back here. A division wide open. We are going to talk today also about the trade deadline with Adam. A lot to get to here. Let's get you caught up on the day's headlines with Bo Wolf.
Eagles in which the identity of the starting quarterback will be the big storyline of the week. And as you can see behind me, Nick Foles returns to practice today for the first time since suffering a concussion 9 days ago against the Dallas Cowboys. Offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur said that Foles and Matt Barkley will split the reps 50-50 today as the Eagles try to find out just exactly how ready Foles is to return to the starting lineup. On the defensive side of the ball, Billy Davis is preparing for an Oakland Raiders team led by Terrell Pryor, who he called as exceptional an athlete as he has ever seen at the quarterback position. The Eagles defense will have their hands full with Pryor this week. And of course, today at 4:00 is the trading deadline. You'll want to stay tuned in case anything happens, although we don't necessarily expect anything to happen. Dave, later on, following practice, we expect that Nick Foles will talk live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you very much, Bo Wolf. We'll talk a little bit more about Terrell Pryor and the challenge that the Eagles defense faces against a mobile quarterback and an offense that runs the football very well. The Raiders coming off a 21-18 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the Raiders feel, Adam, like they have a chance to make a playoff run here.
Well, I think, Dave, when you look at the Raiders situation, and you mentioned Terrell Pryor in passing, they're a run-based offense. They're trying to help him out. In fact, watch them on tape. They are bringing back the wild hog formation with Darren McFadden, their running back, you know, behind center. It's kind of neat. Yeah. Out of the shotgun. So
I want to talk about that. I want to know what that means. Does that mean we'll talk about it? But is that wildcat, wild hog? What does
all
this
stuff
mean?
The University of Arkansas.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun to watch this team and how this Eagles defense plays against a good. I think it's fair to say at this point a good Raiders team.
When you look at the Raiders situation on defense, very similar to the Eagles. I think that the coaching has been tremendous by Jason Tarver, who's known this week not quite for coaching defense.
Right. He's the Birdman.
Yes, but he's done a great job. In fact, he's a guy who worked with Billy Davis, and I think Tarver's done a fantastic job. He was given not a ton of talent, but the thing that I like is he gets them to be very physical and disciplined, and they've got a really interesting secondary, Dave. DJ Haney, first-round pick, who's now their nickel corner. Tracy Porter, a former second- or third-round pick for the Saints, and they've got Mike Jenkins, the former Cowboy first-round pick. And remember, strong safety Tyvon Branch is out with a broken ankle.
Yeah, and there's some players coming back from injury as well to help that Raiders cause. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Eagles' offense, and we'll talk, of course, about the trade deadline, 4 p.m. today. Will the Eagles be in a market one way or the other? That's why we've got Adam along with us today. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live, 215-339-6709. Muddy waters at the quarterback position. Who plays on Sunday against the Raiders. Today, it's Foles and Barkley sharing the reps. What does that mean 5 days from now? We're coming right back.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Take a look at practice. Nick Foles on the field. Michael Vick also getting some work as well. My suspicion is that Michael Vick will not take part in any team activities today. It'll be the individual work. Foles and Barkley, Adam, expected to share reps. Let's talk about how it could evolve this week. And in general, when does a quarterback kind of get named as that number one guy?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, Dave, as the week progresses, you know, the Tuesday practice here with the Eagles, because most, you know, as we know, teams don't really practice
it's light
on Tuesdays. It's very light. The enormity of practice really to me is Wednesday, Thursday. You know, Thursday, because that's the longest practice of the week. Friday's a shorter practice. And then you know. But I think Thursday we'll probably get a better idea of who the starter's going to be. The very fact that Foles is out already on a Tuesday is a great sign that he's going to be ready. But you also have to look at it. Does he have any setbacks? He's got to get through final testing at the end of the week as well.
No, he's been cleared to practice.
No. What I'm talking
the
about
independent
playing.
Neurology. Okay.
Right. You got to make sure he has no setbacks. I remember specifically when I was working for Fox, I heard about Jay Cutler passing every test. He was ready to go. Friday, he had a headache. That was it. He cannot have any setbacks. Got to be careful with that.
Will it be more difficult for him to come back mentally, or will it be more difficult for him to come back from a physical standpoint here early on?
It's a great question. Also, how much does he remember because he had a concussion of the game? We don't know that because we don't have access to what he was thinking. And don't forget, they have such a long plane ride. It's about 6 hours to Oakland. How does he handle that? I mean, you just got to be careful through all this.
Yeah, Nick Foles expected to meet the media after practice today, so make sure you tune in for that. That'll be the first time he's talked since the Eagles lost to the Dallas Cowboys. Adam, the trade deadline is today. 4 o'clock is the deadline. What does that mean?
A couple things. I think, first of all, teams that believe that they can make the playoffs or in contention, they're going to look to get depth. It's rare that you can get a starter. I remember when Randy Moss was traded. But it's rare that primetime starters are traded. Although, this year, we've seen Trent Richardson traded. That floored everybody. So you really never know. There are always surprises. But a team like this here, the Eagles are still only one game back. If, let's say, an outside linebacker who could really help them, give them 15 to 20 snaps, became available, I think they'd look at that. But the fact of the matter is, trades more often than not don't happen because trades simply don't happen, Dave, because they don't want to trade starters.
And some of those names being bandied about, Hakeem Nicks, Jarius Byrd.
Here's the problem.
Josh Gordon.
When you mentioned Hakeem Nicks, well, 2 weeks ago, you would think the Giants would love to trade him. Now they've won 2 games in a row. Guess what? They're 2 games out of first place. So why would they trade him? I know he's on the final year of his deal, which brings up another point. A lot of names being bandied about have either bad contracts or the end of their rookie deal or the end of their contract.
So you do not expect the Eagles to make a deal today?
I don't, but it would not surprise me if they did. If a corner, not a corner, but an outside linebacker became available especially. But right now, those are so hard to find for 3-4 defense.
What about dealing somebody from this roster for additional draft picks?
Who could they really afford to trade at this point? It's a good question. I just don't. I mean, everyone asks about Vinny Curry. No, but here's the question. Everyone asks me about Vinny Curry. Does he have a future here? But that's the thing. He's made himself a future here. Going into the season, we didn't think that way, but 15 to 20 snaps a game is very unique. You don't really find pass rushers as a five technique. You've done a good job.
215-339-6709. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Yanni, who joins us. Hi, Yanni.
Is not dressed.
David, Adam, what's going on, man?
Hi, how you doing?
What's up?
Man, I'm the first caller, the first time. So
there we go. Yeah, be a good omen for the week.
Oh, absolutely, man. The defense, you guys, the defense is playing really, really good. And only 8 games of the season, all I see is upside.
Yeah, the defense
has to bring the offense along. Yeah, they're playing amazing. And I think I don't see this team really as a sack here. What this team does is they give you pressure. They cause incompletions. They cause hurries. They cause intentional groundings. I think being with Cox and Thornton at the defensive end, maybe you're not getting that quickness you would from a regular DN, but what they do is they cause pressure. They cause havoc. And I was looking at a stat. We haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher this season in the last 4 or 5 games. I mean, if you think about it, the offense puts up 2 touchdowns and 2 field goals, you win those games. I'm going to talk to the offense and say, guys, look, we're not playing as well as we want to, but we're not losing by more than 10 points. We still have a chance.
Yanni, give me a prediction for Sunday. We'll talk about the defense.
Against the Raiders, I want to say 24-17.
Thank you very much for the phone call. Adam, the defense, we've talked about this a bit here. There has certainly been some improvement. But understand this, guys. This defense knows it has a long way to go. This defense ultimately doesn't want to be a, quote, bend but don't break defense. They need to create more pressure. They need to create more takeaways. Mm-hmm. They need to create more sudden changes in the game.
That's a great
They need
phrase.
To change.
Yeah.
They need to create more three and outs. Mm-hmm. So while it has improved a lot, and the real test comes in 2 weeks against the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
It's still not – but what it does tell you a little bit here is that what Bill Davis is teaching – the players have bought into it.
They're executing very well, but don't discount the Raider passing game. I know that Terrell Pryor has his issue with mechanics, throws off balance. But let me tell you something. When you look at what they've got at wide receiver, Janarius Moore can flat out fly, having a really good year. Jacoby Ford, who's their slot receiver who could run. Rod Streeter from Temple has been a great story for them, a former undrafted free agent last season. Those guys could play. And then you see that play, which was a read option play. The entire Steeler defense went left, Pryor went right, and scored.
Yeah, and now the challenges of a Terrell Pryor against a pass rush that, you want to contain him, right? You don't want to get out of the pocket.
Right. Now Billy Davis talked about this. Do you have a spy on him? That's something that they can do. I think that you got to think about that because, quite frankly, Pryor is very unpredictable, and you never know what he's going to do. He will turn the ball over. He had a terrible interception last week where he got pressured. He turned his body, and he threw it. And you can't do that. So he's a young quarterback who's undisciplined but can make plays with his legs.
All right, back to the telephones we go. Shannon in Fort Lauderdale joins us. Shannon, hello.
David, Adam, it's game time, guys. What's going on?
Is it on a Tuesday? Yeah. Okay.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. You heard it here first. Sad to say, I respect Michael Vick, but I think his chapter is over in Philadelphia. I think this is Nick Foles' final call for him to put up or shut up. We don't want to hear about any groin strains or the offensive line. I think he's going to react to pressure. Adam and Dave, we're going to go on at least a 5-game winning streak. And remember this day. This is the day that the Eagles turn it around. And a defense, it's all going to come together this week in Oakland. It's going to be the special teams, defense, and offense. Everything is going to – we're going to build momentum. And we're going to go on at least a 5-game winning streak.
All right, give me a score for Sunday, Shannon.
35-17, and I will see you in Oakland.
All right, there he is. That's Shannon.
Oh, he's going.
He does raise the point of Michael Vick and his future, Adam. What do you think here? A hamstring injury that is not healed. How long does it heal? How does the coaching staff approach Michael? So many variables at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and remember, Chip Kelly talked about it. He was just basically relying on what Vick would tell him. Now, who knows what percentage Vic was going into the game, but the fact of the matter is he had a setback with it, and clearly did not look right. Watching the tape, I was able to watch him, and you could see that he was not stepping to his throws, which was odd. So to me, I think you kind of have to move on to Nick Foles here, and when Michael Vick's ready, and if Nick Foles is playing well, consistently well, then they're going to have a decision to make. There's that throw. Flat-footed on that throw.
What's the decision? If Nick Foles is playing well, what decision are you making?
The decision is to stick with Nick Foles. You got to win.
Why would you go back to Michael if Nick Foles is playing well?
But then again, we brought this up before. If they're winning and Nick Foles is playing well, he's a quarterback. You don't change it. You have to look at all their variables here and what they're trying to accomplish. And by the way, I'm not into this trying out players or auditioning players. That's nonsense, especially when you're one game out of first place. The time to do that is when you're eliminated from the playoff race. They are clearly not eliminated.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the big variable here. The Eagles are still only as absurd as it seems at 3-5, just one game out in the NFC.
Is what it is.
You've got to understand that the division is there for the taking.
Right.
The Cowboys potentially without Brian Waters the rest of the season.
Yeah, how about
that? The talented right guard. So Dallas certainly not a sure thing at the top of the division.
They have a tougher schedule than the Eagles, the Giants.
I mean, Giants are still in it.
Two games back.
As incredible as it seems, the Giants still in it halfway through the season, Adam. After an 0-6 start.
Dave, 2010, the Seattle Seahawks were 7-9.
Right.
Okay.
Getting to the playoffs really does provide you need to win. You need to learn to win.
Let me tell you something. When you play defense like the Eagles are playing here, they're playing with discipline. Yes, they're not getting the turnovers, the sack numbers you'd like, but when you're holding teams under 20 points, you're going to win.
Yeah.
And eventually, if you play decent offense, right now the Eagles' offense is putrid. They've got it. Nick Foles, we know what the ceiling is with him. He's very consistent. Usually, and then he's had this one bad game. You have to wonder, can he bounce back? We'll see.
What will he say when he meets the media today about that game against the Cowboys? It was so unusual, so out of the norm for what Nick Foles does.
You know, it's interesting. I was listening to Howie Roseman's radio show, and he said something interesting. He said, we've never seen him play like this. On tape, going back to college, he never played badly. I mean, really bad.
So what happened?
You tell me. You and I have been talking about this for 2 weeks now. We don't know what happened. Here's the thing that I noticed from him, and we've never seen this from him. He was holding on the ball too long. Never does that. Gets rid of it on time. Sets his offensive line up well. Didn't do that.
Is it the moment that got to him? Is it the feeling?
That's a theory. I know. That's
Cowboys,
been out there.
We got to play. Right. Got to do something extraordinary. We're in a shootout here. I can't turn the ball over.
Plenty of games. Remember, this guy started a bunch of games last season. So yeah. It's not like he hadn't been in big games at home.
There weren't big moments last
this
year.
This early, like that, yeah.
Playing for the division lead. So it's interesting to hear.
Maybe so.
And Foles does meet the media after practice today. Back to the phones we go. Zach in Westchester joins us. Hey, Zach.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's how up? You doing?
All right. I wanted to talk about a few concerns I had. See what you guys have to think. So I check out a few of the websites that grade out positions, and it's pretty troubling how these people keep grading Lane Johnson out as like one of the worst tackles in football this year. And understand he's a rookie.
He's been very inconsistent, Zach. I would say this: when he's right, he looks like a high first round pick. When he's off, he looks like a rookie that struggles with technique, footwork, stuff like that.
What kind of moves is he getting beaten on a consistent basis?
You know what?
Speed or power?
I think it's just technique. I don't think it's either or. I think he whiffs every once in a while, which you don't want to see. Mm-hmm. He goes the wrong way. He doesn't use his hands correctly. Sometimes this is all new to him. He's somewhat new to this position. I know fans don't want to hear that, but that's the reality. When you take a guy that has only played the position for less than 2 years, you're going to have days like this. But you see, guys, when he's right, you don't find offensive linemen like this. And this is why you draft them, you develop them.
Let me ask you, with the all-pro tackles, do tackles, you know, turn into all-pro tackles, or do they start off as great tackles?
That's a great question. I would say this.
Well, Jason Peters became a
– Right. Remember, Jason Peters was a tight end who was asked to play tackle, Zach. So I think each situation is different.
Okay.
I think coaching is absolutely paramount to an offensive lineman's success because technique, there's no position more important with technique than the lines, defensive and offensive. And tackles, man, it's about – also, he doesn't always get his punch in. That's something he's got to be a little bit better with.
Excellent, thanks. So another concern I have, and look, I know it's early. I'm not making any conclusions, but I wanted to ask you, what is different about Chip Kelly that makes him, that makes you think he's going to be different than Steve Spurrier?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got a lot to learn. This to me, Zach, is a, thanks for the call, is a very pivotal period of time for Chip. Mm-hmm. He's had difficulty keeping quarterback continuity. Obviously, that's a big factor in things. But the Eagles have scored zero touchdowns in the last eight quarters. So this is a point in time right now where Chip's got to make adjustments and get the offense back on track. I don't want to make the difference between, in my opinion, from what I heard of Steve Spurrier and Chip Kelly, is that Chip Kelly is devoted to working. Chip Kelly is a grinder. Chip Kelly loves the job, loves the game of football. Mm-hmm. From what I had always heard about Steve Spurrier, he was trying to work in a few rounds of golf. He was doing this, doing that, and was more suited for the college game.
Right.
I think Chip really embraces the challenge of being in the NFL and of making the Philadelphia Eagles a great football organization again. And I think that's, to me, that's the difference.
It is. And I remember Chip's introductory press conference, Dave, that he talked about how the hardest people to coach are coaches. Well, why? Because they don't want to adjust. Now, we're going to learn a lot about him. I think you made a great point. The offense has done nothing the last two games. Let's be honest about it. What is he doing to help everybody out here? Yes, some players are not playing up to capability, but what is he doing to adjust on the fly here? We're going to soon find out. And what impact does Pat Shurmur have?
Yeah, also find good points, all. We get some more phone calls a little bit later on. We do want to talk about the Oakland Raiders, the opponent on Sunday, a 3-4 team that thinks it's got a shot at the playoffs. The Eagles in the black hole in Oakland on Sunday. We're coming back to talk about it more. Dave and Adam, we'll be back in just a moment.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
The lead over the middle. Tripped up at the 40. Nice pass and a big first down for the Spartans. Nice job of the rush by
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
We're back, Dave and Adam. We take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule, which is a bit daunting at the head of the last eight games. The upcoming schedule presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. After the Raiders game, the Eagles on the road again at Green Bay. Adam, that's a huge test for the Eagles defense.
It is, no question about it. And RG3 kind of got banged up in the last game. So we'll
but the Redskins are starting to play a lot better football, and they certainly believe they have a chance to win this NFC East. Then it's the bye week, and then five games to finish it up. Three at home, none of them, after watching Arizona dismantle Atlanta, none of them particularly easy. Let's get back to the telephones, and let's talk to Sultan in Boston, who joins us on Eagles Live. Hey, Sultan.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good.
Been a lifelong Eagles fan. I got a quick question
Thank you.
For you.
Yes, sir.
What's the chances of us making a big trade? I know it's unlikely, but what's the chances of us making a big trade for
a decent quarterback?
A
decent quarterback, I would say between 0 and 5%.
I mean,
between
a decent quarterback, up-and-coming quarterback, I know we're facing Pryor. But what if we try to get Pryor this week?
But why would Oakland want to trade? Why would any team want to trade a young and upcoming quarterback? I mean, it's
because we have draft picks, we can.
Who cares? Everybody has draft picks.
Well, it would Sultan. It would have to be in in March when free agency hits.
Yeah.
You know, March 11th is.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. Nobody's trading a young, promising quarterback that they believe in. There's just.
Right.
I know.
I hear what you're saying. You want to get a great quarterback, and it's just we're going to see Nick Foles play at some point this season. We're going to see Matt Barkley play at some point this season, I would imagine, right, Adam? I mean, and there's no question. Somehow the Eagles need to get that answer at the quarterback position.
We need stability in there.
Hey, Sol, give me a prediction for Sunday.
Well, I'm always going to pick the Eagles.
That's right. Give me the number.
So, fly, Eagles, fly, you know?
You got it, brother. Give me the number.
I would say defense has been good the past couple weeks. So, I would say maybe 15, Oakland, 21, Eagles.
You got it, man. Thanks. Hey, keep your eyes peeled if you have any good deals for quarterbacks. It doesn't happen often.
In season, yeah.
Well, it doesn't happen often, ever.
Right. But, I mean, in season trade, you know, for a good quarterback, and other than Carson Palmer being traded
to the
Raiders.
He's not a good quarterback, though.
Yeah. Well, at one point he was.
You think?
Carson Palmer, he tore his ACL, remember, in the playoffs.
Who
did it? Kimo Von Allhoff.
Ah, yes, from the Steelers, right.
Former Eagle, right? Didn't he?
No. I think he may have worked out here.
Okay. Yeah. Can't remember.
All right, let's go to a number that's interesting, Adam. The Eagles have not obviously been able to win at home. On the road, though, they've been pretty darn good. They've won three games.
How about that?
On the road. And you see the numbers. On the road, the offense has been simply fantastic. Look at that. Come on, why?
Look at
Tell
the
me.
Red zone percentage.
Well, look at the points per game. 30 versus 14. That's more than double.
And you could call it scheduling, whatever. The fact of the matter is, when Nick Foles is right, he moves that football. He gets it out. Timing is terrific. The Dallas game, don't know. And I can't wait to hear what he says in his press conference, if he can remember it all. That's another thing. Does he remember everything that happened?
Is Oakland a daunting place to play these days?
It is. You've been out there. Remember Donovan?
Not for a long time.
Donovan was that starter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah, and that was not a good game for them. It's usually what happens is it's a long trip. You're tired. It's a non-divisional game. Non-conference game. Some teams don't take it seriously, but the Eagles have this game counts against the record. They need this game, and they need to get things going in the right direction, considering they have a little bit of a losing streak here. So,
you
got to win.
Let's talk a little bit about the Raiders' offense here. They've got some key contributors that we want to take a look at. Darren McFadden. Now, Adam, you mentioned earlier in the show here about the wild hog formation, which is their version of the wild cat.
Correct.
And how often will they run that?
They had a couple snaps. They scored on one of the two of them that I saw in last week's game, and that's the same formation that McFadden ran at Arkansas. He's a tall, upright runner who's susceptible to getting hurt. He's about 6'2", could run in a straight line, and you see it there.
Will he ever throw out of that formation?
He faked it, and he used to at Arkansas and throw out of it, and he actually could throw. And he's on the final year of his rookie contract. Has had all sorts of lower leg injuries, as one executive told me when we were talking about him. I asked
But when healthy, is a terrific player.
Yeah, he's a straight-line speed guy. And he just was not comfortable last year in their zone scheme. They switched it to more of man, and it's worked a little bit better for him. But their offensive line has been beat up by injury. They've had a revolving door left tackle, Jared Velder, their left tackle's out. So this is an offensive line that struggles. I think the Eagles' D-line could have their way this game. Absolutely.
Well, the Eagles, I would say at this point, your defense is looking at an offense that really runs the football much more than it passes it.
Yeah, because they're trying to help the quarterback. I don't think there's any question about that. And then the other thing is, when Pryor goes back, he holds on the ball, not sure what he's looking at. This is why confusion by Billy Davis and the defense is very important.
Would you spy Terrell Pryor?
He was asked that in his press
would
conference.
Would you spy Terrell Pryor? With whom?
How about Michael Kendricks?
That's what I was thinking.
Because he could run, and he can move, and he had a really good game last week. He was able to shed blockers and do a good job.
A couple of the other players we wanted to keep an eye on, their wide receivers, Denarius Moore and Rod Streeter. Tell me about them.
Okay, Rod Streeter is a tall possession receiver out of Temple. Wasn't drafted because he had an injury very early in his career. Doesn't run all that well, runs in the mid four fives, but he plays faster than that. High character guy, good football player. It's been a good story for him, but Moore's their guy. I mean, Denarius Moore's had a nice season. Was benched last season for inconsistent play. They were asked for the season, would they trade him? They said absolutely not. He's their guy. He's their top receiver. They get nothing out of the tight end position. Those guys are used as blockers. And Rashad Jennings, the veteran back, is their backup running back. Sometimes you'll see him on third downs. Marcel Reese is an athletic fullback. Yep. He's a good football player. They've got the weapons, but the quarterback is just very inconsistent. He's not accurate.
Yeah, but he is a big, strong, big-armed guy, and my sense is that he can really make a defense become unoriented, disoriented, kind of in a way, a lot like Vic. He's the first quarterback that Billy Davis had to account for his mobility. In fact, his ability to break open a game with a run.
Throw. I mean, you just hit on it. What happens is
I like those interception numbers, though.
Yes, he's very unpredictable. You don't know where he's going to go sometimes, and you see his completion rate, 63.1, which is actually very good, but he doesn't really play to that percentage. He misses throws he should hit. I think the other problem is he's not sure quite actually what he's seeing, and that's why the touchdown numbers are very, very low. But he's a kid who really took a jump in the preseason. I was at their training camp, and I was talking to the coaches. They said the light kind of went on for him in training camp. But as you see sometimes, he just doesn't see it very well. And he runs around sometimes when he really shouldn't. But you see the play like that. When the play breaks down, he can get positive yardage.
Adam, the expectation, I guess, is that the Eagles and the Raiders will be locked in a bit of a defensive battle here.
Yeah.
What kind of defense are we talking about here with a group that's very fast to the football?
Yeah, the biggest issue the Raiders have is they don't really have a true pass rusher. Lamar Houston's more of a D tackle who's playing, and he's almost 300 pounds. Good football player. Jason Hunter has been kind of a journeyman DN with the Packers and the Broncos. He plays the other end. But I'll tell you, the guy to watch out is Seal Moore, the rookie from UConn, who had a monster game last week. This kid could flat out fly. One personnel executive told me the reason why he dropped a little bit in the draft was because he's too small to play DN, so he's playing strong side linebacker. And then you see Tracy Porter had a great game, had an interception. First-round pick DJ Hayden, who is number 25. He's actually their nickelback.
Look at that run defense. That's terrific.
It's terrific. And Houston's a really good run DN, and their tackles. Vance Walker's a guy, 97, who came over from the Falcons, who's a good football player. They may not have the most talent in the National Football League on defense, but they play to their scheme very well. They execute. Again, very similar to what the Eagles have done here with Billy Davis. They're executing about as high of a level as they can. They just don't have the pass rush.
Yeah, the key here, Adam, the Eagles have to get LeSean McCoy running the football.
Yes.
They've got to establish the line of scrimmage. And it's going to be hard. Make the Raiders kind of fall apart defensively from a scheme standpoint and start at the line of scrimmage and then go down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get this offense going.
I agree with you.
We'll be back in a moment here. Eagles Live. Don't forget Nick Foles live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com after practice. We've got more show to get to. 215-339-6709. The number, who plays quarterback this week against the Raiders, could be Foles, could be Barkley, both on the practice field today.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more.
Let's get it. Let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more championship. Let's go.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
It If you don't have a chance to call us on the show when it's live, give us a call on the Bird phone, 215-526-6800. Make sure you leave your name and where you're calling from. Please keep your messages at fewer than 60 seconds, and you never know. You might make it to one of our live shows, you know, because a lot of people, Adam, they watch the archive, and
yes,
this gives them a chance to talk Eagles, mm-hmm, and to get on the show and to ask people like you, and to a degree me, questions about the Eagles.
Correct, David.
We all want to know what you have to say, much more than what
thank you.
I have to say.
Appreciate that.
Any big trades around the league? Will Josh Gordon be traded?
I've been asked this probably more than any question, and as I kind of noted on Twitter about 6 weeks ago, the Browns were trying to trade Josh Gordon. They could deny it all they want. Back in August, they were shopping him hard. Browns surprisingly got off to a really nice start. They kind of pulled him off there. They raised what they wanted in a trade, and not a lot of trade talk. And then I think they kind of set the bar on what they wanted. They haven't gotten it, so I think more likely than not he won't be traded, but his guy's been troubled off the field, and if he gets in trouble again, you're looking at a possible 1 year extension.
Will anybody be traded of suspension?
Notes? Kenny Britt, the Titans, would love the trade. Nobody would trade for him yet.
What's his problem?
Final year's rookie contract, ACL reconstruction, very, very inconsistent player, and he's had major off-the-field history.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
So what did he do against the Eagles? Guy, big, tall kid who can run.
But there's so many other issues with the kid. 215-339-6709. Let's go to Wisconsin, where we'll be in 2 weeks, and talk to Lee. Hey, Lee.
Hanson.
Yes. Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Doing fine. Thanks for calling.
Wonderful show. I really enjoy listening and watching the show. Hey, I'm disappointing in the Eagles. I was very excited. I had high expectations for them this year. I followed pre-camp and all the way through. So I was wondering, Michael Vick is not under contract for next year.
Right.
So I'm wondering if his play could have something to do with that. Maybe he feels like he should protect himself because he's not under contract the next year. What is your take on that?
Interesting question. I don't think that that's been a factor. I think that Michael's just not going to go on the field if he can't do this, right? If he can't run, it's just such a huge component in his game. If he can't set up and look at, I mean, even when he's not running, he's moving around the pocket.
Yeah, that's a good visual there. See the way he was able to step back and create space.
You know, you've got to plant and throw and drive through the football, and he doesn't have that in his legs right now.
He didn't do that on that interception to Celek. If you really watch it, for those of you who are able to see the all 22, he does not step into the throw. He's flat footed, and I haven't seen him throw like that before. I knew it then. There was something.
Yeah, the second throw against the Giants was just he had all day in the pocket. Was really, I mean, you look here, a lot of time in the pocket.
Watch his front foot.
You know, didn't have hidden, it didn't never squared up, never yep. drove. It's just awful throw.
Yeah, he threw that to a spot there, but the fact of the matter is he didn't throw it normally there.
But he threw it with no confidence, no connection with his receiver.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Lee, give me a prediction for the game.
Well, I think we're going to pull it out tomorrow. It's going to be low scoring, probably, I would say, 14-13.
Thank you, Lee. Interesting. All these numbers early in the year, Adam. 35, 42.
That's right.
Two bad games, and those numbers have come way, way down.
I understand.
Speaking of the offense, Pat Shurmur, Eagles offensive coordinator, meeting the media just a short time ago. This is what he had to say about Nick Foles, Matt Barkley, and the Eagles offense in general.
Nick will be out there today. Nick and then Matt will share the reps today. So we'll just we'll get a feel for where Nick's at. Had a good day of meetings, and he'll come out and he'll practice with us, and we'll see where we're at. We expect him to come back and perform well. You know, it depends on the position you play. Each guy's position probably, you know, obviously asks him to do different things. And for a quarterback, getting back out there and getting the feel again for the receivers and just the total operation of playing quarterback. We're going to see where he's at. We haven't seen him out here since he played in the Dallas game, so we got to see where he's at. He's medically cleared, of course, but we'll just see how he responds to the practice reps today. I think what's important is, you know, unfortunately there's coaching changes for a reason, so when you come in, you know, there's a lot of things that guys are losing or are learning in parallel. Systems, getting used to playing with one another, the competition of the opponents that you're playing against, the grind of the season. And so what's important is you're looking for your team to continue to improve. If there are some games when you don't play as well as the next, then you try to get it all refocused on the practice field, because this is a game that you have to practice, and you try to find a way to practice better and get it to translate to Sunday. So I think we can learn from everything that goes on, and then within a team, we're one big team, but there are units within the team that have certain functions, you know, of course, and I think the defense has done an outstanding job the last 2 weeks. We're constantly critiquing what we do in terms of our process, how well we practice, what we're doing, and you know, we always believed that if we practice better, we'll play better, and so that's where you start. When you read a defender, you can do other things with the football if you can't run it. You can flip it out on the perimeter. You can run it with anybody. You just may not get the same amount of yards you would get if the guy's a better runner. So, and then there's a lot of times when we're not reading it. So, that's my layman's perspective. Unfortunately, I wish everybody that was broadcasting the game could know exactly what was going on. But a lot of times there are times when it's not reported in the way that we were trying to get it done. If you don't make excuses for the fact that you're not playing with the guy that started the season, you know, that's not new. It's happening around the league. And so what the challenge is you don't make excuses. You don't let other people make excuses for you. The guy in the game has got to get trained up and play well. And that's the mindset. And all the guys that we have on our roster, we feel like they can do that. I just don't think we've played well enough. We haven't executed well enough. And I think everything that's happened in the game, those are mistakes that are correctable. And then we got to get to work today, making sure it doesn't happen again.
Obviously, we're going to keep our eyes on the quarterback situation, see how Foles progresses through the week. And you will hear him immediately after practice right around 120 or 125 today. Mario in San Francisco joins us in Eagles Live. Mario, how are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Hanging in there, pal. Coming your way this week.
I'm going to be cheering all the way to the plane lands this Friday.
Yeah, man. It'll be Saturday when we land, but nevertheless.
Saturday, okay. That's even better. Yeah. That's even better.
What's on your mind today, sir?
Okay, anyway, to all my Philly fans back there, please give Chip Kelly a break. I mean, this is a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people got to understand, anytime you implement a new system and you really don't have the type of players that you really need, you have to take your time and build. So this is a rebuilding year for the Eagles, and people just need to be patient.
I think people got so out of whack by that first game that now we see some of the ups and downs that everyone goes through. So, yeah, we're all being patient here. Well, we're being, but you'd still want to see more than 3 points a game, and I think that's frustrating not only for us, for you, for everyone, for the coaches and the players. It is frustrating as well.
Offense sells tickets,
the guys,
man. That's
to me, the guys are doing the best they can with what they have.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your prediction for the game. What do you think?
Okay, me being out here in California, everybody's going to be throwing eggs at me. So I say Eagles 31, Oakland 17.
Mario, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
All right, great stuff. Let's go to Billy Davis, Eagles defensive coordinator. We've talked about the Raiders offense enough. How about what the Eagles see, what they're preparing for? Bill Davis right here.
Pryor is a phenomenal athlete. The more you film, you watch it, he makes you say wow a lot of times with his escapability. So we've got our hands full this week with trying to keep him contained and really limit his playmaking ability, which is tough to do because he's such a versatile athlete. He's big, he's strong, he can move, he can throw the ball, and his escapability is probably the best we've faced. I believe Nate Allen is one of our – there's a handful of guys that have made that steady improvement, like Cedric we just talked about. But Nate, I know everybody was talking about him early in a negative way, about what about Nate, what about Nate, and now he's playing a lot better football, and I think you still should be talking about Nate and the improvement that he has made because, again, he's another guy that just put his head down and 1 week at a time is trying to get better at the little parts of his position and his role in our defense. And as these individuals get better in their roles, collectively we get better. Clifton, he's one of our best run defenders. And when teams step up and start throwing those two-back runs at us, all of a sudden we put Big Cliff in, and all of a sudden he's a handful for them. So he's gotten better and better as we go. And there's some games people are coming out, like Dallas was all spread you out, empty, throw the ball every down, and it wasn't the downhill run game. New York came back and presented a two-back downhill run game, and Clifton played better and really just got to show what he's capable of and what his strengths are. It's really what happened there. It's an exciting atmosphere. I remember early on in my career, I was with Kevin Green and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's a huge rivalry there. And And they have all the – it's like Halloween every weekend there because they all dress up, and especially in the end zone. Well, Kevin Green, I remember I'm going through individual drills, and all of a sudden he just starts screaming and running, and he dove into the end zone where all those supposedly crazy guys are, and they loved it. They were some of the – they're some of the nicest people in that end zone that are all dressed up like Halloween, and they couldn't have been more happy to see him dive in there, even though he was a Steeler at the time. So I learned back then that it's a great place to play. They're very friendly. They're good people. They're very passionate, and they like dressing up in Halloween every Sunday. This is a good weekend to do that. The position coaches right now are the ones that should be out front talking to you guys because they're the ones that really have made the progress we have happen. Jerry Azzanero and Eric Jander in the D-line, and then Rick Minner and Billy McGovern in the outside backers with Mike Dawson and Todd Light and Lovett doing in the secondary. It's a credit to them in the individual periods and the fundamentals that we've taught from day one. Every day we hit the sled. Every day we tackle. Every day we talk about footwork. Every day we talk about eyes. And when you do that and just keep your focus on those things, you get better as you go. And I like where we're improving to this point, but we've got a lot left. We've got a lot of improvement left. We talk about defense when Chip comes in with me, and there's no doubt in my mind he will figure it out and the staff will figure it out. He's one of the brightest minds I've been around, and there's no doubt that he'll figure it out. He doesn't need my help on that one. I got my own issues. I got my own work.
Oh, you got to leave him laughing. That's what Bill Davis does. The Eagles defense playing better and better, and a lot of optimism on that side of the football. We will find out how much the Eagles feel Nick Foles progressed in practice today. He'll meet the media at 1:25, so make sure you come back and tune in on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and on your official Eagles app. We'll have Foles for you live. Tomorrow we come back, our exclusive one-on-one with head coach Chip Kelly and Merrill Reese in studio to talk about the Eagles at the midway point of this 2013 season. Adam, thanks again.
Thank you.
For coming in.
Sure.
Adam Kaplan in studio every Tuesday. Make sure you're with us for the ESPN contributor. I'm Dave Spadaro saying have yourselves a great Eagles Day.